It's a wonderful, wonderful day for us to be here together. And today we rejoice. We rejoice. This is our theme of our celebration today. And our Torah reading came from the book of Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 12, which is the end of the Torah. And then we read from Bereshit, Genesis. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. So we completed the cycle and started a new one. But, you know, it's not just about the cycle. Life moves on. And we read today in Haftarah that Israel didn't stay in the desert forever. They moved into the land and the new time, the new move started. So that's where our reading was from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And finally, our Messianic writings, which as you will see are also linked to this festival, are from Luke, and it's chapter 2, verses 21 to 39. And I must say, it's been such a lovely opportunity to hear those verses being read. They're not something which we read that frequently. And what a wonderful story it is of Yeshua being brought in and circumcised and brought to the temple, and two witnesses who saw him as 4 weeks old baby. They came and they said, "He is the salvation of Israel." Is that? It was there from the beginning. The Spirit has revealed this to them. But really today what I wanted to focus on, and as Rabbi said, we already covered some of the ground, and look at our festival, Simchat Torah, or as we should properly call it, is called Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day of assembly. And those of you who are interested in all things calendar will know that in diaspora, those two festivals, Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, are celebrated on 2 days. Simchat Torah is the second day. Of course, we follow the calendar tradition as of Israel, and we celebrate the Shemini Atzeret and the rejoicing in the Torah today. And when I started doing my research about what is the nature of this festival, really there isn't that much written about it. We have a couple of cryptic references about the Shemini Atzeret, the status of it, and really what it says is that on the eighth day of the Sukkot, we will meet together. We will have a solemn gathering, Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day gathering. And when I was trying to read through the rabbinic writings to understand, it's quite interesting because the rabbis had an understanding that this is a separate festival to Sukkot. Sukkot lasts 7 days. And it ends with the Hoshanah Rabbah, the seventh day, the great Hoshanah. And this eighth day is a separate festival. But because it's intrinsically linked to Sukkot, it's part of the single festival season. But really, when we look at the calendar and the Moedim, as they are prescribed in the Torah, today is the last day of all the festival cycle. And it's a day of rejoicing. And we already heard here last week when I was talking about Sukkot. Sukkot is festival of rejoicing, and this is true. And on the last day, you rejoice even more. So if you think you spent your 7 days rejoicing, then today you have to rejoice even more. And also, traditionally, today is a day when, as a nation, we start to pray for rain for the land, because the season of divine judgment is concluded and the time to favor Zion is upon us. Festival of Shemini Atzeret does not have any special rituals as you have with other festivals. There is no special food, although as a synagogue we do have a tradition, of special food. But there is traditionally, there isn't really the understanding as we have for other festivals. The lulav etrog, it's not used anymore, and really only one command in Torah tells us: extraordinary simcha, rejoicing. You shall be joyful. And in this context, it should be noted that the festival of Shemini Atzeret itself has it loops itself to the Messianic redemption. This is something which was and is understood by the rabbis. It's understood that the meaning of the term Atzeret also is ending and closing, as in Shemini Atzeret is the conclusion of all the festivals. And we also understand that, or the rabbis understood that the eighth day indicates the finish and all of the time when Israel was oppressed. And therefore, it is understood to be the day of our salvation, the day of redemption and deliverance. For us, of course, this day had a fulfillment also in the Messianic prophecy, which is in Isaiah 35, the redeemed of God shall return, that should come unto Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be at their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sadness shall be away. So that there is a kind of also a future Messianic fulfillment connected to this day. Future and the past. And now we'll talk about the past. Because last week we talked here about Yeshua being born of Sukkot. And you know what happens to every good Jewish boy on the eighth day after their birth? Indeed, they get circumcised, as we have today. And for once, we do have a record of this in the Messianic writings. We read it in Luke 2:21. When the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And as I was thinking about this, that the fact that Yeshua was circumcised in line with the commandments, I really started to appreciate the fact that there is only one sentence in the whole Messianic writings which witness and confirm something which at the time was so routine for Jewish parents that it wasn't really mentioned anywhere else. It's just, of course, if you have a boy, you get him circumcised.
Amen.
That's just the thing to do. You know, I can't even think, well, why wouldn't you do that? And yet, this one sentence has a profound effect on understanding of what the Messianic writings are about. A whole religious history is hooked on this one verse, because it's the irreversible proof that Yeshua was Jewish.
Amen.
That's it. He was circumcised, he became part of the Jewish nation. That's what it means. He became the son of the covenant. He was a member of Israel. He was no stranger, he was no foreigner, he was not someone who came from outside. He was a Jew. Let's face it, the Roman Catholic Church has tried really hard to hide this one element of Jewishness from the readers of the scripture, but it's there, it's recorded for us, and it's plain for everyone to view. In that one sentence, we are confronted with two things. One, Yeshua was circumcised in accordance with the Jewish law. and two, he was given a name. So if you had children, if they were born, you struggled to think of their name, well, the tradition at the time was that you properly name, you have a naming ceremony on the 8th day when the child was circumcised. And his name was Yeshua.
Amen.
He was called Salvation.
Amen.
We know that giving a name to a Jewish child is an important task, as it tells us something about the life mission and how the parents view and understand the purpose of the child's life. We don't name children with names just because we like them. Hold on. We do like them, but they have a meaning. We always check what's the meaning of the name. And the second point, as I said, was the first time I mentioned it was the circumcision. And I'm not really here to talk about the spiritual meaning and the ins and outs of circumcision. We did have a session as part of our life cycle events, but this needs to be said, that the Brit Milah is a sign of eternal covenant and bond between the Jewish people and God,
Amen.
Our Creator.
Amen.
And so the Jewish Messiah, as one of us, also became part of this covenant by the actions of his parents, Yosef and Miriam. So can we stop here and appreciate the fact that it was the obedient action by Yeshua's parents who brought the Messiah into the Jewish world? See, the Brit Milah is a matter of faith of the parents. It signifies a bond which is higher than our intellect, and it connects the child with the rest of the nation and to God's promises and blessings. And so here we are on Simchat Torah. And you ask me, hey, like, we started talking about rejoicing and then we suddenly talk about circumcision. So how does this work? Well, we rejoice and celebrate. Indeed, it's a special day. It's a commandment to celebrate. But when we talk about Simchat Torah, Rabbi already mentioned this, those two festivals, we need to think that two different things. So the history is that in the early Middle Ages, the eighth day, the Shmini Atzeret, became associated with the ritual completing of the yearly cycle of readings from the Torah. Before that, it was the three-year cycle, and really, the readings which I looked at, the meaning of the Shmini Atzeret, is that the rabbis really didn't know what to do with it, because the temple was no longer standing. We couldn't have that solemn assembly, and so we were left with that focus on the Torah and the completion of the cycle, and that developed itself into the Simchat Torah celebrations, which were the second day of the Shmini Atzeret. So, in modern sense, Simchat Torah is not a specifically biblical holiday, although we rejoice in the blessing we receive from God through the guidance of the Torah. And also, to understand the promise that the Torah has for us, the promise of Messiah that he will come and redeem. We rejoice in the cycle of completion for the Torah, because we start reading the book of Bereshit, and we understand that the promises which are in the Torah, they continue with every year, with every generation. Those promises and blessings continue. The Torah acts as a guide and brings us the promise of Messiah. But it is the Shmini Atzeret that is the biblical day. And as I said, the rabbis don't have much to say about this eighth day of the festival. There is a silence on that when it comes to interpretation of the festival. In some ways, when I was reading on it, it's similar perhaps to another festival, Spring Festival, which has been a little bit forgotten throughout the history of the Yom HaBikurim, the first festival of the first fruits. And yet, for us, it has a real meaning. All those days were celebrated, but after the destruction of the temple, they disappeared because they were not rooted in traditions and interpretations. But for us, Messianic Jews, Shemini Atzeret has a wonderful, wonderful meaning. Not only do we remember the conclusion of Sukkot, the gathering of the nations, the forgiveness which we received, the salvation which came to us, but on this day, we remember that God made the way to bring salvation to life in the midst of our nation. And through this, prophecies were fulfilled and brought to life. On this day, the Messiah became the heart of Israel, and the way for our salvation was sealed into the history of our nation. And so we celebrate this day with extra joy because of all these wonderful blessings. And I think I'll conclude with a verse which to me signifies the fulfillment of this day. It's from Isaiah 9:6. You know it. For a child is born unto us, a son is given unto us, the government is upon his shoulder, and his name is called Peleg Yoetz Al Gibor Aviat Sar Shalom Yeshua Mashiach.